Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I woke up to the sound of buzzing and a screen of static. I shifted in my seat and felt pain stab through my wrist. My movements were sluggish, my mind slow. I stared down at my elbow, propped on the armrest of my seat, and realized I must have fallen asleep with my cheek wedged in my hand. I'd fallen asleep. I wiped drool from my chin and sat up, struggling to make sense of where I was. Memories pushed their way slowly through my jet-lagged mind. I was on a plane with my wife. That was it. We were into the second leg of a 24-hour journey that would take us from London to New Zealand. We'd already travelled 12 hours to Singapore, waited a couple more at the airport, then boarded a different plane for the final stretch. We'd taken our seats. I'd watched the crew getting ready for takeoff. And then you fell asleep during the flight safety video. There it was. A dam broke in my tired mind, and it all came back to me. I'd been watching a black-haired, dead-eyed flight attendant take a position in the aisle of the plane. The screen in front of me had blinked into life. I got one earphone in, and then... And then, you dozy bugger, you slept through the whole thing. I rubbed my eyes and looked around me. My wife and I were sat at the very back of the plane. Economy, but we'd paid a little extra to get one of the only rows with two seats. I stared around at Rosie, who was in the window seat next to me, and felt a brief spike of alarm shoot through me. It was gone as soon as it had come, but for a brief moment there, for a moment, you thought she looked dead. She really did too. Rosie's forehead was pressed against the black plane window, her mouth lolling half open, eyes shut tight. She was slumped at an awkward angle, her neck bent in a way that looked almost painful. For a second, I thought about moving her, but then I thought better of it. We'd both had a long journey. She needed her sleep too. Instead, I turned back around and looked down the length of the plane for signs of life. Nothing. The cabin was still and silent. Dark blue seats stretched in rows ahead of me, heads lulled against travel pillows. There was no sign of the flight attendants. The main overhead lights were off, casting the plane in a dim, twilight glow. The only sounds were the muted hum of the engines and the spiky crackle in my left ear. My screen. I plucked my headphone out and frowned at the little window of grey static. Typical. The thing was obviously busted. Trust me to be stuck on a 10-hour flight in the seat with a duff screen. I stretched up and peered around the cabin again, this time paying more attention to the other passengers. I'd expected to see the soft glow of pixels, people enclosed in their own miniature, private cinemas, watching everything from old Friends episodes to the latest blockbusters. But instead, I was greeted by more darkness. That was odd. I couldn't see all the screens belonging to the passengers in front of me, but I could see a fair few. Every single one of them was dark. Apparently, nobody was watching a thing. Maybe they're all broken, a voice in my head muttered. Maybe the entire in-flight entertainment system's down. Maybe, but if that was the case, why was mine the only screen crackling with static? Screw it. On a whim, I reached up and pushed the little assistance button above my seat. The greyed out symbol, which showed a little stick person that was clearly meant to be a flight attendant, blinked red. Ding! I heard the noise and stared at the symbol. And, for the briefest of moments, for a reason I couldn't even remotely place, I felt a flicker of anxiety in my stomach. Just a faint worm. There one moment, gone the next. I peered around the seat in front of me to look down the cabin. Still empty. The aisle stretched away from me, ending in a dark blue curtain that had been drawn shut. "Forget about ghost trains," piped the voice in my head. "You're on a ghost plane. No working screens, no working people, and you can absolutely forget about getting that assistance you want, mate, because the lights might be on, but nobody's... What are you doing?" The voice didn't just almost make me jump. It caused a nasty wave of shock to shoot through me like static. I jerked towards the sound and found myself staring up at the dark-haired flight attendant I remembered from earlier, the dead-eyed one. She popped up next to my seat like a damn jack-in-the-box. Must have come from the back of the plane. I looked up at her and she stared back at me, her eyes just as cold as they'd been before. No discernible expression on her face. "Oh, sorry, yes, I tried to fumble out a sentence, but she cut me off. "What do you think you're doing, sir? Didn't you watch the safety video?" I stared back at her. The flight attendant met my gaze, then slowly raised an arm to point above me. I followed her finger. It took me a moment to realize what the hell she was on about. But then I spotted a second red light next to the assistant's one I just switched on. The seatbelt light. I looked down, stupidly, and saw that my own seatbelt was unclasped in my lap. The separate ends were skewed around my legs. Absurdly, I felt a pang of guilt. Sir, I asked if you watched the safety video. I stared back up at the flight attendant, for a moment, too baffled to reply. What the hell was going on? The woman's rudeness had caught me completely off guard. After a few more seconds of struggling to collect myself, though, I finally found my words. "No, I couldn't watch your safety video. My screen's broken." I gestured in the direction of the static. "That's why I called you over." The attendant turned a blank face towards the crackling screen, and just for a second, I saw something pass behind her eyes, a shadow of some emotion. Only, it wasn't the look of apology or a realization that she was in the wrong, like I'd been expecting. Not even close. For a moment, I could have sworn the woman looked nervous, almost afraid. But then it passed. And she was staring down at me again with those dead eyes of hers. "Fasten your seatbelt, please, sir, and stay seated. I'm going to need to speak to the captain." "What? Is that really necessary? I thought you might be able to fix it or, I don't know, move us to a different seat or..." "Stay seated, please, sir. The captain will need to hear about this." I opened my mouth to protest, but she'd already turned away. I watched her stride down the aisle and disappear through the blue curtain, which swished shut behind her. I turned my head to say something to Rosie, to comment on how rude the woman was, then remembered she was asleep. My wife's mouth was still open, her head resting on the black glass, her face paper white against the darkness. I got up out of my seat for two reasons, partly in protest of the flight attendant's blunt command, and partly because I needed to pee. My bladder felt full and uncomfortable, my mouth cottony. I thought I'd relieve myself, swirl my mouth out and splash some cold water on my face, wake myself up a bit. Being at the back of the plane, I was right by the toilets. But as I climbed out into the aisle, feeling another of those irrational, guilty pangs shoot through me, my eyes were drawn to the people in the seat opposite ours. Over on the far side of the plane, another couple, a fair bit older than us, man and wife, both asleep. The woman's head was propped in the corner where her seat met the window, her chin tipped back, mouth open, just like my wife's. The man was slumped forwards in his chair, forehead pressed against his black TV screen. As I watched, a runnel of drool slipped from his lower lip and plopped onto the carpet by his feet. Bloody disgusting, I thought to myself as I made my way to the toilet. But something about the sight of the couple troubled me. They hadn't just looked asleep. They looked completely out of it. Did anyone really sleep that deeply on a plane? By the time the thought had gone through my head, though, I was already standing in front of the toilet. The lock above the door handle was green, which meant it was vacant, so I reached out to turn it. But then I paused. Above the door, another of those red seatbelt lights blared down at me. The thing looked like a warning. I glanced back the way I'd come, but there was no sign of the dead-eyed flight attendant. I turned back to the door and heard the echo of her words in my mind. "Stay seated, please, sir. The captain will need to hear about this." For some reason, the memory of that sentence caused another faint worm to twist in my stomach. What did the captain need to hear about exactly? The fact that my screen was broken? I'm no expert on the inner workings of airlines, but I had a feeling that was probably a little below the guy's pay grade. "Just get on with it," hissed the voice in my head. "You can be done and in your seat again by the time she's back." Feeling absurdly nervous, I twisted the handle and pushed the door open. The room beyond was a nest of shadows. I stepped in, shut the door behind me, and twisted the lock. A little light blinked on. I unzipped my fly, turned to face the toilet, and felt a scream rise up in my stomach like acid. I bit it back, just. But as I stared around the little toilet cubicle, what I thought was a toilet cubicle, I felt my skin tingling with a horrible, itchy shock. The place looked like the inside of a cave. That's the best way I can describe it. Like one of those rocks the teachers would cut open in school to reveal a sparkling, hollowed-out center. The sight was so unexpected that it took me a few moments to process what I was actually looking at. But I got there eventually. Crystals. Hundreds of purple crystals. They coated the white plastic of the toilet seat like dark moss, and climbed the walls and ceiling like some alien ivy. The crystals twinkled in the overhead light of the toilet, strangely beautiful. Or almost beautiful. Maybe they would have been if the sight wasn't so damn disturbing at the same time. Looking into that cubicle was like cutting open a shiny apple to discover a rotten core. The sight felt unnatural and entirely out of place. It made my scalp itch. Slowly, as if the purple substance in the toilet was an animal that'd react to quick movements, I backed away. Felt myself bump the closed toilet door behind me. Feeling the skin on my neck and back itch worse than ever, I turned around and fumbled with the lock. When it finally turned and I had the handle down, I half fell through the door as it swung open, only just managing to keep my feet. I twisted and slammed the thing shut behind me, the voice in my mind already jabbering possible explanations. "Dreaming, that's all. You must be dreaming. You fell asleep and thought you woke back up, but really you're just... Sir?" I didn't scream, but this time I did let out a yelp. I turned and found myself face to face with a dead-eyed flight attendant. She stared up at me, her face as blank and impassive as ever. "What are you doing, sir?" She kept her eyes locked on mine as she spoke. "I thought I told you to stay seated." I opened my mouth to respond to her, to say something about what I'd just seen in the toilet, but then my words froze. Oh Jesus, the voice in my head jabbered at me. Oh Jesus Christ, those things were on her damn eyes. They were too. Now that I stood facing her, I had a better view of the flight attendant's face than I'd had earlier. And as much as my shocked mind tried to kid itself that she was just wearing colourful eyeliner, it couldn't. The crystals were on her eyelids. Tiny, thin rows of them, crusted in the corners and dangling from her upper lids like stalactites. Impossibly small, but impossible to mistake. As I continued staring, I saw more of them around her hairline too, and some clustered in the cups of her ears. They rimmed her nostrils like dried, bloody snot. It took me a while to realize she was speaking to me, saying something. Her mouth was moving, revealing glimpses of her teeth that had more of that dark purple stuff trapped between them. I stared at her, my entire body hot with shock and fear. "Sir? Sir, are you listening to me?" I nodded my head, forced myself not to stare at the crystals spreading over this woman's face. "I said you'll need to return to your seat immediately. The captain was very strict about that. You'll be pleased to know we've got your screen working though, so the first thing you can do is watch the flight safety video."
"Oh, okay."
"It's for your own sake. The journey is going to be a long one if you don't. Very long." I opened my mouth to respond, but she had already turned away. She moved down the aisle and stood by my seat, then stared back at me, dead eyes watching. I followed her, and as I sat down in the seat and did my belt back up with my shaking hands, I suddenly felt like a little boy on his first day of school, terrified and out of my depth. The feeling was reinforced when the flight attendant opened my tray table and placed a plastic cup in front of me. The liquid inside was the colour of Ribena. "Here, sir, drink this. It'll help you relax, and make sure you watch the video." She straightened up and walked away, without saying anything else. But when she reached the blue curtain, she stopped and turned back. I'd been staring after her, but as soon as her eyes met mine, I looked down. My cheeks were hot with fear, my hands sweaty. I scooped up my headphones from where they'd fallen below my seat and put one in. When I glanced back up again a few seconds later, the flight attendant had gone. No static buzzing in my ear now, only silence. No crackling grey screen either. As I stared ahead, my mind blank with shock and fear, I was greeted by a large picture of a plane on a runway. Passengers filed on, their faces just as blank and empty as the attendants had been. A big, purple button on the screen said, "Tap to start safety video." I lifted my finger and tried to stop my hand from shaking. All of that happened about 3 hours ago. 3 long hours. I've spent some of that time pretending to sleep, and the rest writing all this down on my phone. For now, at least, we still have internet. I don't think we will for much longer. I never watched the safety video, never drank that purple stuff either. I took the cup and trickled it onto the carpet below my feet, bit by bit, when I was sure the flight attendant wasn't watching. She has been watching too. She's come to check on me a few times now. The first time I saw the blue curtain at the head of the aisle rustling out of the corner of my eye, and I made sure to keep my eyes fixed straight ahead. That was about 5 minutes after she'd left with my newly repaired screen, and I figured she'd still expect me to be watching the flight safety video. The next time was about half an hour later. Despite how terrified I was then, I managed to force myself to keep my eyes closed and lie back against the headrest, feigning sleep. It seemed to satisfy her too, because she didn't come any closer. When I cracked my eyes open again, after making sure to count slowly to 60 in my head, she was gone. Since then, I've kept one eye on the blue curtain the whole time, even when I've been writing this. I kept one eye on it when I tried to wake my wife too. When I tried to wake Rosie, I kept checking that damn blue curtain even as I shook her, harder and harder, the terror in my chest threatening to mutate into full-blown panic. The thing is, she won't wake up. Not even close. I checked her neck, and she still has a pulse, but it's faint. Faint and slow. I don't know if it was something in that damn flight safety video that caused her to slip into this near coma, or if they gave her some of that purple stuff to drink while I was asleep. I guess it doesn't matter. All that matters is she's unconscious, and nothing I can do will make her open her eyes. I need to post this message now. I need to send it out in the vain hope someone can help me. I can't delay any longer. Any minute that blue curtain might rustle again, and this time, I might not be quick enough to fool the attendant. I don't know what they'll do to me if they realize I'm still conscious, and I don't want to find out. There's only one more thing I need to tell you. One more crucial thing. It's the reason I know the internet won't last much longer, and the reason that, if I'm honest with myself, I don't think we'll be landing anytime soon. It's something to do with the screen in front of me. Something I saw. You see, the thing is, although I didn't watch the flight safety video, I did try to see what else I could find. There's a little home button in the screen's bottom right corner, so small I almost missed it, and when I tapped it, I was taken to a main menu. Movies, TV shows, music, all the stuff normal flights have. I ignored those items though, and tapped on the button that said flight map. It took me to a little 3D graphic of the globe, with a bright red line cutting across it. At the bottom was a countdown timer that said 17 months, 3 weeks, 4 days, and 11 hours. A reading that I assumed, at first, to be an error. In the middle of the red line was the icon of a plane. Our flight. When I first checked that map, we were somewhere over Indonesia, still on course for New Zealand. And when I used 2 fingers to drag the map, watching that red line jut over the Banda Sea and on into Papua New Guinea, it still looked like we were following the right course. But then, when I reached the Coral Sea, something happened. The line stopped. Or rather, I thought it had stopped. But then I used my fingers to rotate the map and realized it hadn't stopped after all. It had only changed direction. Instead of carrying on over the water, the line suddenly went up. Straight up. It cut up through the layer of blue and then purple and finally on into blackness. And no matter how much I scroll or zoom the map out, I can't see where it ends.